This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know every time we have Evelyn Pyburn with us on the show from the Big Sky Business Journal, we always like to start off with some good news, and she always has some good news to share with us on the business front here as well. But I'm gonna throw one out there. This is just think of this like a war note, just a quick heads up, especially if you're somebody out there who has a grocery store that you run, or a restaurant, or a cafe, bar, you name it. Hey, we know that everybody's getting hit hard by the inflation right now. I mean, you're basically losing 20% because of this inflation that we've seen under Joe Biden and John Tester. So we're going to be partnering with some of our friends here to try to make it a little easier on you. We're going to be basically helping you buy groceries. We're going to be helping you, you know, get a meal, you name it. And so we're going to be doing these events after the radio show, sometimes maybe even with the radio show. But after the show, we're going to be doing these events all across the state of Montana. So if you've got a restaurant, bar, grocery store, cafe, coffee shop or something, and you want us to come to your location to do one of these events where, you know, maybe we buy gift cards to your restaurant. Maybe we you know, pay for $20 worth of groceries. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it's going to be something like that. Send me an email, aaron@montanatalks.com, and you know, we're going to start planning a series of these events that are coming up. It's going to be a great way just to try to give back and help folks, you know, during this this high inflation, et cetera. Evelyn, great to have you on the show as always. What's the good news from the business standpoint?
Well, let's see. Let's first deal with the weather. Tomorrow is the very first day of spring, and that has to be exciting news for all of us, I'm thinking.
And better yet, it's actually going to feel like spring, I think, over the next couple of days, isn't it? Yeah.
Kind of amazing there. So,
sunny and not sunny in 75, but it'll be sunny in 70, at least in parts of Montana, if I remember right, unless the forecast changed significantly. I guess we'll hear here soon.
Yeah, well, we can't, you know, we can't jump it up too fast. I don't know if we can adapt that quickly. So 70 is fine.
Well, then by Friday and Saturday, it'll be back down into the 30s and the 20s and into the teens over the weekend. But that's all right. We still need more moisture. We can still deal with some more of the cold weather because we had a milder winter. So that's okay.
And it is still March. So
yeah,
you can't expect too much.
That's right.
So, and then the other thought is the housing prices are not increasing as much as they were for Billings. So, you know, that's as good as that news gets, I guess.
Yeah. Of course, you still got to deal with the interest rates and everything else. You know, one of these days, we'll have to start talking about real estate markets here once again in a little more depth. In fact, Saturday night, I got to MC the Safari Club International Montana Chapter Banquet. Got to see the Burkharts and a great crew from Bozeman that were in the house for that event. And then Dan Smith with Berkshire Hathaway was there. He's on the board for SCI. So I was telling him, man, we got to talk real estate again here one of these days, catch people up with what all's going on. All right, back to Evelyn right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. 6,628. That's how many earmarks and pork projects are tucked into the $467 billion minibus spending bill, which lawmakers recently passed to avert a partial government shutdown. Both parties laid off earmarks some years ago after public outcry. Earmarks in the minibus spending bill totaled $12.7 billion. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer secured $1 million for an environmental justice center in New York City. And you don't even have to be a current member to get an earmark. You could be retired or dead. Late Democratic California Senator Dianne Feinstein passed away in September. Yet she's linked to earmarks for 265 projects in the Golden State before she died. Republican Missouri Senator Josh Hawley called earmarks, quote, cocaine, adding that, quote, they're addictive for politicians. However, lawmakers did cancel one earmark, $1 million for an LGBTQ community center in Pennsylvania. It allegedly hosted BDSM parties. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Look for lots of sunshine across the area for today, with high temperatures sticking closer to the lower 60s for Bozeman, but approaching that 70-degree mark for Billings. Then as we head into the night tonight, under mostly clear skies, we'll have lows in the low to mid-30s. For Tuesday, still above average, highs in the lower 60s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, don't de-winterize your campers just yet. I know, I'm itching too. I'm ready to de-winterize that. But although you can take it out without de-winterizing it. I mean, you know, you can still get out there and have fun with your campers, even when it is winterized. But yeah, don't de-winterize it just yet. Looking at the forecast here over the next 7 to 8 days, it's going to get very chilly again later this coming weekend. Evelyn Pyburn, we were catching up during the break. It's National Ag Week, celebrating agriculture. What a great time, because on Friday we're going to be broadcasting live from the Farm Expo in Plentywood. But you've got some interesting information here to kick off Ag Week for us on the show.
Yes, it's coming from the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. March 17 through 23 is Ag Week, and in singing the praises of advancements in agriculture, they said that Americans spend $14 billion each year on holiday meals like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Independence Day. So that's a lot of food. the Farm Bureau President, Cindy Johnson from Conrad, she pointed out that farmers are using less land than ever before while producing more products, food, feed, and fuel. And she said that 30 years ago, it would have taken 100 million more acres to produce the same amount of products as the farmers are growing today. And plus that they are using more and more precision agriculture and sustainable methods and for farming and grazing that positively affect the environment. Of the 11% of disposable income that Americans spend on food each year, the dollars are split fairly evenly between food eaten at home and eating out, dining out, or takeout. On average, one U.S. farm feeds 166 people annually, not only in the United States, but around the world. Women make up 36% of the total number of U.S. farm operators, and I was quite surprised at that number. It's pretty dramatic. And 58% of all farms have at least one female decision maker. Montana continues to rank number one in the country in the production of chickpeas, dry edible peas, and lentils. The state ranks second for durum wheat. And as of January last year, there were 2,160,000 cows and calves in Montana. So that doubles the Montana population of people. Montana has 27,100 farms and ranches on 581 million acres of land, making Montana second, just behind Texas as far as the number of acres in production. There are 109 million farms in the whole country, of which 95% are operated by families. They're family farms and partnerships. And the Montana Farm Bureau proclaims that Americans enjoy food supply that is abundant, affordable, and among the world's safest, thanks in large part to the efficiency and productivity of America's farmers and ranchers.
Those are some remarkable numbers. Yeah, what's your takeaway after going through that? That was just incredible. I was sitting here scribbling notes. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the audio again. Okay. So much great information there.
Well, I guess, you know, I'm not surprised at the number of cows. I think we've always had far more cows than people. I was really impressed with the number of women involved in agriculture. But, I mean, in hands, I mean, you know, like ownership of farms and stuff. But I shouldn't be, because I have always known that women have long been very dominant in agriculture, in their ability to do the work manage the businesses. Quite a while back when women were entering the world of business and everything, and there was all the hoopla about that, one of the places where men were very much more receptive than any place else of women being a boss over them was Montana. And they inquired, you know, there was a survey done about why men accepted women as their supervisor more readily in Montana. And it was because so many of the men grew up on farms and ranches where the woman was. They saw their mothers very capably handling business and the work and decision making. So they didn't have any doubts about women being able to do that. So I thought that, I've always remembered that as being a very interesting.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because the farm and ranch, really, most of them are entire family-run operations. I mean, and you see it most on display during a branding when, you know, the little kids might be out there running around. The bigger kids are helping to you know, wrestle calves and things like that. But, you know, everybody's involved. So not just the mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, but the kids are involved in it as well. That's very fascinating information. What Evelyn also said there about 100 million more acres would have been needed to produce the same amount of food that farmers and ranchers are producing right now. Think about the environmental impact of that had we not been as innovative as we are. All right, stand by. Back after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The Justice Department's Anti-Division and Federal Trade Commission submitted comments to the U.S. Copyright Office advocating for regulations that would facilitate the right to repair farm machinery. The agencies are in favor of consumers and businesses getting to repair their own equipment. The Copyright Office is considering whether to recommend that the Library of Congress renew and expand temporary exemptions to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's prohibition against the circumvention of technology protection measures that control access to copyrighted content. In their comments, the agency said that renewing and expanding repair-related exemptions would promote competition in markets for replacement parts, repair and maintenance services, and facilitate competition in markets for repairable products. Groups like the Farmers Union have long advocated for farmers' rights to repair their own farm machinery. In other news, the Economic Research Service says the number of U.S. wheat farms has dropped substantially over time. Since 2002, the total number of wheat farms fell by over 40% from over 169,000 in 2002 to just over 97,000 in 2022. In addition to the decline in wheat farms, wheat production is down slightly but has been variable from year to year depending on weather. But from the years of 2017 to 2023, wheat production did not exceed 2 billion bushels in the U.S. I'm Lane Nordland.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Teeths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, here's a great idea that came in already. I was talking about how, you know, we're going to be getting out, doing events at different locations, trying to help people with high inflation costs. Maybe we buy gift cards from you. Maybe we buy folks a little bit of groceries, you name it. Mark and Roberts says, come out to the Roberts Cafe in Roberts, Montana. I like that idea. Mark, is that your cafe? Or who do we coordinate with? I'll have to follow up with you via email. That sounds great. We gotta make that one happen for sure. All right, back to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, talking business news and more. A great summary about National Egg Week. What great information there. That's why I just sat back, listened, and took notes there. Evelyn, another topic you and I were chatting about during the recent break here. Apparently, this year is expected to be a very hot year for tourism in Montana. So even given the concerns over the national economy, they're expecting a very hot year for tourism here in Montana.
Yes. A survey done by Montana's Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research said that 87% of tourism business owners anticipate visitor volume to increase or at least stay the same this year as last year. And last year was a pretty good year. And they were very upbeat about being able to modify or expand their businesses so that they would increase their business. Their primary concerns were, like you said, things like high inflation and transportation costs, but also natural disasters and world political tensions, which you might consider a natural disaster too, I think. Last year,
just self-created, right? And in our own circumstances, at least, yeah.
Last year, Montana had 12.5 million people visiting. They were drawn primarily by, of course, our national and state parks and the opportunities for outdoor recreation. There was a minor dip in tourism visitation in 2020, but it's held steady over the last 8 years in Montana, averaging slightly more than 12 million visitors annually. Like I said, the parks are the biggest draw. Glacier National Park has consistently had about 3 million visitors over the past each year for the past 3 years. And Yellowstone National Park has maintained an average of around 4 million visitors for the last decade, except for unique instances like the pandemic and the 2022 flood. In fact, Yellowstone marked its second highest visitation year last year with 4.5 million visitors.
Well,
in a survey of more than 200 tourism-related businesses, 42% in reported increased customer volume last year and compared to 2022, while 27% said visitation remained the same. And like I mentioned, the primary things they worry about are natural disasters, such as fires and floods and droughts. But then, of course, like most of other Montana businesses, they are struggling with employee shortages.
That's right. And inflation and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, the fact that they're expecting a hot year for tourism, despite what's going on with the national economy and inflation and everything else, is interesting. You and I kind of chatted offline. I wonder, you know, when I was down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, we were talking with, you know, the Montana Department of Commerce folks that were there and some of these Montana businesses. And you really see it when you're at one of these big, international conventions like the SHOT Show for guns and outdoor gear, to where, you know, Montana is just, internationally known, even more so now because of the TV show Yellowstone. And I wonder if part of this is just a continued Yellowstone effect where, you know, anybody and everybody who's watched that show, they're like, oh, Montana, oh, I want to go to Montana. And if you're a Montana business, they're like, oh, man, you're from Montana. I mean, it's a major selling point for Montana business.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we were down in Cancun area for our vacation, I was surprised. No one ever said, Montana, where is that, or anything like that. The response was always like, oh, yeah, they knew. They knew about Montana. And
they probably knew not to mess with you, too, because you might take them to the train station if they messed with you or Dennis there, right?
I don't know about that, but it's just I mean, usually, you know, people that far away, they kind of have to think about where a state is located or something, uh-huh. You know?
I even had somebody ask me before, where is that? Oh, it's in America? Yeah. I forget what country I was in on that one. All right, stand by. We'll come back.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Who decides truth or misinformation? Supreme Court hearing arguments whether the Biden administration went too far, asking social media platforms to take down posts on COVID and the Hunter Biden laptop, claiming misinformation when they turned out to be true. On the campaign trail this week, President Biden sporting new shoes, Hoka lifestyle sneakers for stability. Vladimir Putin reelected president of Russia for an astonishing 37-year reign. Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu objects to Senate Leader Chuck Schumer calling for new elections in Israel.
I think Schumer's statements are wholly inappropriate. I think we're not a banana republic. The people of Israel will choose when they'll have elections, who they'll elect, and it's not something that will be foisted upon us.
On Fox and Friends, three separate spring break shootings in the Jacksonville Beach Bar District last night, one dead, four wounded. America's listening to Fox News.
Yeah, not anymore. They don't ask you where Montana's at anymore, for good or for bad. Everybody knows where Montana's at now, don't they? Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. One other big topic we wanted to get to here, you know, jail capacity. Big issue in Billings, but it's not just a Billings issue. It's, heck, look at all the illegal aliens that are filling the Gallatin County detention facility. Great Falls, Cascade County has had jail capacity issues. And I've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now about the jail in Missoula being overcrowded. But Yellowstone County, you've been following the latest. You go to every single one of the Yellowstone County Commission meetings, and they're moving forward with a temporary facility, right?
Well, yes, they are moving forward very much so with the temporary facility, but also they are moving forward in adding on permanent addition to the jail, which has been a huge part of the conversation. And a lot of people have been pushing to do that. And so last week, Yellowstone County Commissioners issued a request for qualifications from consulting firms to conduct the research necessary to determine what an expansion of the Yellowstone County detention facility should incorporate, you know, like how many beds and how many years or how many how much growth are they going to have over the next few years. And the applications for this consulting company, whichever, you know, they pick, will be April 8th. And the data collected will help to plan for the future in other ways probably also. But it will help determine the design and cost of the jail addition so that the commissioners know what to request of the voters when it comes time to ask for a bond issue, because it almost certainly will require additional taxation.
Well, just look at the crime. I mean, there was just a tragic case here, even brand new information that just came out over the past few days here. There was a 12-year-old missing boy,
yeah.
And then they identified him. The boy was actually was actually killed. They found his body, 12-year-old boy. KTVQ.com has a report here that a person of interest has now been identified in the killing of this missing boy, only 12 years old. And KTVQ also reports that the youngster who had been visiting Billings from California when he disappeared, they, according to his family, they say he had gotten involved in gang activity at 12 years old. And they say that the group of teens that the 12-year-old was known to associate with were well known to police officers. Just 12 years old, killed, and it sounds like they believe gang activity is responsible for that. In Montana, of all places. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Always appreciate your reporting and your time. Thanks for being with us. Quick break back after this.
Beware of tax scammers. The IRS is not cold calling you. I'm Jackie DeAngelis with your Fox Business Tax Tip. Coming up.
I'm Dana Perino. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. As we analyze the 2024 election cycle, make sure you subscribe to this series on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts, and leave me a rating and review.
The IRS does not cold call, text, or email you. It's a scam to get your money. The IRS usually contacts you by mail, but Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, says even a letter could be a scam.
When you look at that document, confirm that the phone number and the address listed in the communication is accurate. Anybody can put IRS on an envelope with payment instructions.
Levin says the IRS makes any correspondence available on your own account.
Go to the IRS website and you can see a copy of any notice or letter in your file.
Report scammers to the IRS impersonation webpage. Jackie DeAngelis, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a lot to talk about here on this Monday with Montana Talks. Here's the deal. For the 8 and the 9 o'clock hours of the show today, we've got our calendar is wide open. So we're just going to be, I'll be yapping. I'll talk about the big stories in the news, both local Montana stories, maybe some of the national stuff as well. And then you can call in if you got something you want to talk about or you want to weigh in on the conversation. We'll have the phone lines open from 8 to 10. 406-294-0970. And then, of course, keep those messages coming in on our Montana Talks app. I know we got a couple that I want to share with you here in just a few minutes. But first up, we got a great guest on the program right now who we've gotten the chance to chat with from time to time with some great political commentary and insight. Ashley Smith Thomas is a political strategist, the founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA, which is a nonprofit to protect freedom and national security from threats that impact our future. Wanted to get her take on the latest news in the Fannie Willis case. Judge rules Fannie Willis must step aside from Trump case or fire the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade. Ashley, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So it seems like I've been reading conflicting analysis on this. Is this good news for Trump or is this bad news for Trump that Fannie Willis remains on the case? Sounds like she's got to dump Nathan Wade, not as her boyfriend who takes her on lavish taxpayer-funded trips, but she's got to dump him as a special prosecutor.
So that's a really good question. You know, people are wondering, you know, what does that mean for President Trump, particularly with Willis being on the case. So to kind of give some quick context, you know, on Friday, Judge Scott McAfee, who's the Fulton County Superior Court judge, he had actually issued a ruling that Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, either she needs to step aside and her whole office, or Nathan Wade, who's the special prosecutor, which Friday afternoon, Wade had actually turned in his resignation letter and Willis accepted, which means that Willis remains on the case, she and her office. So when looking at this, the judge did not believe that the defendant had enough evidence to show that there was really conflict of interest. And that's what caused her to remain on the case. However, the judge did acknowledge that there is an appearance of impropriety because of the relationship that she had with Wade. When looking at this, Jonathan Turley, he's a law professor at George Washington University and Fox News contributor. He was on the Laura Ingraham show Friday evening and basically said that this very well could be the best thing for President Trump by keeping Willis on the case because she's, quote, damaged goods. So he pointed out, stating, quote, she's prosecuting people for the underlying conduct that she's accused of committing with Nathan. False statements were given to a court. False filings have been submitted. So how can she possibly continue without damaging her case?
Yeah, and I think Andy McCarthy was on Fox News and said something similar about how this is actually good news for President Trump. I mean, of course, the whole case should just be thrown out anyway. It should just be laughed out of the courtroom. But I understand that judge there in the deep blue county of Fulton County, Georgia, he's got to run for reelection. So he doesn't want to just throw Fannie out on her fanny and then risk getting punished by the voters in deep blue Fulton County, Georgia.
Sure, and you know, that makes sense, because here's the thing, when you look at the judge's statement, in a way he's contradicting himself, right? Because he goes and he says that the defendants didn't have enough evidence to prove conflict of interest, but then he acknowledges in another part of his statement that there's conflict of interest, but then says that there's the appearance of impropriety. So which is it? Either there is conflict of interest or there's not. And in looking at that, you know, what I also find to be interesting is that the fact that Fannie had lied under oath, and you see that she said that they had their relationship, she and Wade, after she hired him to be the prosecutor in this case in 2021. But former staffers within the DA office have said no, that she and Wade had a relationship, romantic relationship, prior since 2019. So, you know, you look at this, there's all these discrepancies in Fannie's timelines. And then over the weekend, whether this has been verified, you know, if it's true or not, don't know, because information is still starting to come out about this. But there's concerns that she potentially had illegally obtained evidence pertaining to this Trump case. And if that's the case, and that's the situation here, I mean, the fact that she lied, issuing false statements, trying to create a conspiracy here that just absolutely does not exist, meaning that some of the statutes that she has been using is associated with mobsters, because she's accusing the Trump and his co-defendants of creating a criminal enterprise to overturn the 2020 election. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So his attorneys, as well as the co-defendants, they have every opportunity here to issue a dismissal, because, again, moving forward, how can you take anything serious that Fannie Willis introduces to the court? Because now, is she lying? Is she being honest? Is this integrous? And right now, she's proving and showing that she cannot be an integrous individual.
That's right. Well, and isn't there also a pattern here where almost every single one of these political persecution efforts against Trump, whether it's the DA in New York City, whether it's Fannie down in Fulton County, Georgia, they're all kind of running into snags. A lot of these cases are starting to fall apart. And then, of course, you had the United States Supreme Court also reject Colorado unanimously, trying to throw Trump off the ballot.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing, too, is that when you look at what's going on in New York and you look at what's going on in Georgia, it's amazing to me that you're seeing such bloated egos coming from the DA in New York and the DA here in Fulton County. And it's really disgusting when you look at it, because their hatred, and, you know, justice is supposed to be blind, right? Everyone is innocent until proven guilty, but they're already claiming that Trump and these co-defendants are guilty, and he's having to try to prove his innocence, which is so wrong, because it's not even what our judicial system was even built upon. And so this goes to show that this is politically motivated, and because of this political motivation, again, we're seeing it in New York and in Georgia, it's falling apart, and more what's driving these DAs is their hatred towards Trump. They are hell-bent on making sure that they destroy and bring down Trump, which then makes me think, okay, well, then how can we not say that this isn't election interference? Because how convenient that you're doing this in a prime election year leading up to the general election in November.
Well, and look at how overwhelmed all of these courts are. I was talking about, you know, crime here in Montana earlier, and a 12-year-old boy who was murdered. Apparently there's a gang connection there, according to local TV news report. And we've got drug cartels infiltrating our reservation, so much more. But yet these, and one of our listeners said, hey, I've heard that the backlog in our court system is part of the problem here. And he's exactly right. Our listener was exactly right. But again, these courts are backlogged all across the country, and yet they're wasting their time persecuting Trump and going after political opposition instead of going after criminals, while criminals get put right back out on the streets. I wanted one segment that you could start here. We could do this every day if we really were focused on it. What are they pretending to be mad at Trump about today? Because I think these phony actors on MSNBC, it's a scam. They know they're acting. What are they pretending to be mad at Trump about today? The whole his whole bloodbath remarks, he was clearly talking about the auto industry under Joe Biden. But yet look at the fake news media, the liberal mob media. What are they pretending to be mad at Trump about today?
Oh, absolutely. When are they not mad?
You know, exactly.
They're angry mad people. All the time. So they are. So they're catching up. So I'm like, well, why would I want to be a part of a party that's angry all the time? But, you know, you look at the bloodbath comment, that was something that they have just completely just turn it into an issue. You know, turn taking a molehill, turning it into a mountain, and mountain out of a molehill. There we go. And that's basically what they're doing in this whole situation. And Trump is right. I mean, if you go and you look at the actual Merriam-Webster definition of a bloodbath, he is right in saying that, because this blatant attack and assault on the auto industry from this current administration, if they were to halt production, if they were to halt how the auto industry moves forward, that's going to cause people to lose jobs. It's going to affect our economy, and even sending, you know, industry abroad, again, that impacts our economy. So Trump is right that this assault from the Biden administration on the auto industry is very detrimental to America because of our economy, and our economy is already weakened. And so how much more can we take? And so I'm sure they'll probably complain about things that he's been posting on social media. I mean, he did a good job of trolling Nathan Wade on Instagram over the weekend. So who knows?
Oh, man, I got to go check that out. I missed that one. But then again, my daughter had a volleyball tournament, and then we had the Safari Club banquet Saturday night. It was a busy weekend back here in Montana. All right, Ashley Smith-Thomas, always great to have you on the program. Founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA, thanks for your time this morning. And she's right. I just went to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary right now. Bloodbath to be a major economic disaster is another definition of bloodbath. A major economic, and that's exactly what Trump was talking about.
AirPods Pro with adaptive audio automatically keeps out the sounds you don't want to hear, so you can listen to your music, and lowers your music to let in the sounds you do need to hear.
Hi there.
Hi, what can I get you?
I'll have a strawberry mango coconut probiotic smoothie with wheatgrass.
Anything else?
Extra wheatgrass.
Here you go.
AirPods Pro with adaptive audio. Available on AirPods Pro second generation when enabled.
Fox News commentary.
TikTok is on the chopping block, but is this a good thing? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. 35 years on Wall Street taught me how to successfully invest in the stock market. In my four-part series, I'm going to teach you, too. Some of Fox Business's finest join me to help tell my story, impart crucial lessons from my Unstoppable Prosperity book, and give you the tools to achieve your own financial dreams.
Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
TikTokers are in a tizzy after a bipartisan coalition of representatives bonded together to pass a bill that may send the Chinese-owned app to the digital graveyard. But should we trust that our leaders have pure intentions, or could this be another notch on their tyranny belt? The plight of the TikTok influencers is not my concern, but here's what is. If Congress grants the government the authority to pick, choose, stifle, stipulate, or even ban an app or platform, where does it end? Sure, now it's being billed as a mechanism to limit communist China's influence, and I agree with that premise. But what's next? Do the government overlords then come after X and Elon? Do they classify other free speech platforms unfriendly to their narrative as bad actors and force a sale? Folks, I have no love for TikTok, but does this move just embolden the government tyrants and put our free speech in even more jeopardy? Food for thought. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Using the estate tax to your benefit. I'm Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show, with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
The annual gift tax is a great way to reduce taxes. The federal gift tax exemption was increased to $18,000 in 2024, or a combined $36,000 for married couples. The lifetime gift exemption was also increased to $13.6 million. This means that married couples can now shield about $27 million without having to pay any federal estate or gift tax. You can use this tool to pass on gifts in a tax-free way. Watch The Big Money Show weekday.
National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio. talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, for those of you who missed it, we talked at length about Alaska and Israel, comparing Alaska and Israel to the terrorists in charge of Iran. Glenn Beck, it must have been his best of program last night from a few days ago, but he was talking about all of the sanctions being put in place against the people of Alaska. But yet Joe Biden and John Tester don't want to put more sanctions in place against the terrorists in Tehran. That's Tehran John Tester for you, of course. And so we were talking about that. And then I mentioned how James Carville, the Democrat strategist, James Carville, he did an interview with Jen Psaki on MSNBC over the weekend. And he was saying, well, let me just play a portion of what he had to say in that interview. The DailyWire.com has a roll up.
They're going to have to tell Bibi Netanyahu, hey, dude, we're not going to lose our election because you're scared to go to jail. You got to think of something else, because this the negligence of this man was breathtaking. And why are we over there begging him? We ought to be putting pressure on him every way that you can to de-escalate this thing and quickly.
Yeah, so Democrat strategist James Carville is saying that if Democrats lose in November, it's Israel's fault, because so much of the Democrat Party's radicalized base is pro-Hamas, is anti-Jewish, is anti-Israel. And so it's dividing the Democrat Party right now. So that's why the Democrats are interfering in Israeli elections and undermining a great American ally during this very important time, as they're taking the fight to the terrorists that committed the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. Let's see. I shared that story via Twitter. Basically, James, it's a war, Larry. Carville is worried that there will be a literal bloodbath in Chicago for the Democrat convention this summer because of their violent, radicalized base and the fact that they've got such a strong element of their party that is pro-Hamas. Anyway, Mike Bell responded via X saying this. Wow, if Democrats lose, it's Israel's fault? And then Mike says this, I think massive spending, flooding our country with illegals, rising crime, inflation, giving money to Ukraine, total corruption would be reason enough for the Democrats to lose. It's simply that Biden and the Dems are failures. But see, they want to blame it on Israel. That's why, look, I don't think James Carville and the Democrats think that they're going to lose the election because of Israel. As Mike pointed out, they've got plenty of other reasons to lose the elections this November. They just need to be honest. They despise great leaders like Bibi Netanyahu, who defend their countries, who stand up for Western principles and ideals. They despise it. Why do you think they want to transform America into something else? They want to transform Israel into something else as well. That's why they despise Bibi Netanyahu. They despise Donald Trump, because he wants to make America great again, not transform America into something else. All right, phone lines will be open at 8 to 10, anything and everything you want to talk about. Hey, we were talking about, restaurants, cafes. Have you guys gotten a chance to see the Montana Sky Restaurant? It's right on the 20th floor, right beneath our Montana Talk studios. We're at the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings. The Montana Sky Restaurant is on the 20th floor. They've got a brand new kitchen team, new chef. Got to meet the chef. I got to have that peppered steak just a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely incredible. They got a big Easter menu coming up for March 31st. They've got breakfast items. They've got New Orleans barbecue shrimp. They got braised lamb. Of course, they got a prime rib carving station and all sorts of incredible desserts. But hey, you can go see them right now for breakfast, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. daily. And then for dinner, brand new menu, brand new team. Check it out. Great view, just like we've got here. In fact, I'm looking at a beautiful view of the Beartooth Mountains right now. Montana Sky Restaurant, 20th floor of the DoubleTree, breakfast and dinner. Hey, I'm very excited about the week ahead with our statewide show, Montana Talks. Here's why. We're going to have time to take your phone calls. We're going to have some great guests coming up on the show. But even better yet, we're getting out on the road. We're going to be live on Friday from the Farm Expo in Plentywood. And then I get to go to Schmeckfest Friday night. Hope to see many of our listeners there as well. So an exciting, fun week ahead. Plus, we'll cover the big news of the day as well. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk statewide 9 to 10.